Hello, it's Alison here. Today I am reflecting on the story of blind Bartimaeus who's sitting outside the gates of the city of Jericho. You'll find the story in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, although I tell the story as I go through this reflection. I gave this reflection to Rosanna Baptist Church. It was delightful to be there and to worship with them. And this recording is for those who'd like to follow it up again. So he was slumped outside the city gate because he wasn't allowed to enter. Once he'd been on the inside, but not anymore. Maybe he asked too many questions, or maybe he struggled to make nice. Maybe people felt uncomfortable around his disability. Or maybe people's reactions to his sexuality or gender had pushed him out. Whatever the reason, he'd been criticized and then judged, then driven out, and then erased. He was not to mingle with the inside folk, and they had been warned. Hanging out with him would taint them, might even lead to them being thrown out too. So they carefully avoided him. They averted their eyes, and they never returned his calls. It wasn't about his faith. He still loved God. And through it all, he'd kept praying, kept trusting, kept sharing his crusts and coins with the people sitting beside him outside the city gate. And yet there was something about him which meant religious folk avoided him, and they banned others from mixing with him too. He had begged and prayed for things to be different, to be let back inside the gate, but this one thing never changed. And so, despite all his trust and prayer and love, because of this one thing, this one taboo, he had been rejected and kicked out. Maybe you know someone like this, and maybe you've been that person yourself at some point. I think of gay friends who were publicly refused communion and then expelled from their church. Or I think of a family I know with an autistic kid. This child would quietly wander around the sanctuary during the service and touch things, and people found it so distracting. And so the elders asked the parents to keep their kid at home. I think of all the people who've been told by churches to stop asking difficult questions, or who have been ordered to agree to things they could never, ever affirm. And I think of countless people who are stuck outside because there is no proper ramp. And no suitable toilet, and no acceptance of different pronouns. There are so many ways to end up outside, sitting in the dust. Well, Bartimaeus was there because he was blind, and in his day and age, in his culture, blind people were considered unclean, and they were polluting. They were forbidden from mixing with the sighted for fear of contamination. And maybe his condition was inherited, for his name can mean son of the unclean. Well, our story meets him on the roadside, on the outside, in his darkness, waiting for crumbs from the table. But lest we sit in darkness too, let's leave him there for a moment as we tell two related stories which come a little earlier in the Gospel according to Mark. So, first, there's a story of a rich man. Now, this man, he's rolling in it. He has, we can assume, children and fields in abundance, and no doubt a beautifully soft and warm fur cloak. Well, already he has so much. But when he meets Jesus on the road, he wants to know how he can get even more. Good teacher, he asks, what must I do to inherit more life? Right, this Jesus looks with love into his heart. And maybe he sees that the man is possessed by his possessions. And maybe he sees that life is just another thing that the man wants to possess. Or whatever, Jesus tells him to get rid of the things which have captured his heart, his big house and his holiday home and his investment property, his wheels and his slaves, his bank balance and his shares in the grain industry. His 17 pairs of fine leather sandals and his soft and warm fur cloak. Sell what you own, says Jesus, and give the money to the poor, and then come, follow me. Well, the rich man is horrified. Give it all up. He can't. He won't. What would the neighbors say? So, with a great swirl of his cloak, he turns his back on Jesus and he goes away grieving, for he had many possessions. The second story involves Jesus' own disciples, and they're on the road to Jerusalem, and not for the first time, they're jockeying for status. Well, Jesus has just told them that he will be crucified and by implication dragged outside the city gates because that's where crucifixions happen. Well, at this, James and John come forward and they want him to do as they wish. Well, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they ask for greatness and for glory. But it turns out that these are not his to give. Instead, Jesus reminds his disciples that if they want to be great in God's kingdom, they must be least of all. At this, they arrive in Jericho, and on the way out again, on the road to Jerusalem, sits someone who might be reckoned among the least. Blind Bartimaeus, son of the unclean, excluded, stigmatized, broke. Like all beggars, he only has one possession, and this is his cloak. And this filthy scrap of patched and worn cloth is his protection and his livelihood. By night, he wraps himself in it for cover and for warmth. And by day, he spreads it on the ground to collect a few crusts, a few coins. So there he is on the roadside, on the outside in the darkness, with his one possession, his cloak. Sitting there, Bartimaeus hears a large crowd pouring out of the gate. And someone in the crowd is speaking, and the voice resonates deep inside him. "Who is it?" he asks at the beggar's line. "Who's that?" And gradually, word filters back. It's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, well, the rumors have reached him, and this is the one who touches rejected people and draws them into community. The one who healed a bleeding woman when she simply grabbed his cloak. And instead of rebuking her for mixing with the crowd, he commended her. He praised her faith. This is the one who raised a corpse-like boy amidst his father's faith and doubt, and the one who sent us sick and sniveling children, and who seems to love everyone. This is the one who sounds, in fact, like the long-awaited Messiah, giving voice to the voiceless and sight to the blind, healer and saviour of all. And as everyone knows in that time and place, the Messiah is David's son. So making the connection, Bartimaeus fills his lungs and he shouts, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Well, the crowd hears, oh yeah, they hear all right. But he'd been kicked out. He'd been silenced, he'd been erased. He wasn't supposed to mingle with them. He wasn't supposed to draw attention to himself. So when Bartimaeus cries, "Have mercy," the crowd snarls, "Shut up." What crowd is this? It's the disciples and the crowd from inside the city who are now following Jesus. "Have mercy," says the trans man, and the crowd says, "You freak." "Have mercy," says the lesbian, and the crowd says, "Repent, be straight." "Have mercy," says a black man under a policeman's knee, and the crowd says, "Must be drugs." "Have mercy," says a woman in a wheelchair, and the crowd says, "Access ramps are expensive. Have you tried healing prayer?" "Have mercy," says a family facing homelessness. And the crowd says, "It's an investment property. We have the right to raise the rent." Yada, yada, yada. "Whatever, be quiet. You are not worthy of our attention or tenderness or care. We are not remotely curious what it's like to be you. In fact, we don't want to know. We're allowed in the gate. We're convinced of our own righteousness. Everything's fine and nothing will change. So sit down, shut up. And don't bother us again with your needs and your demands for mercy." In these and so many ways, the crowd rebukes Bartimaeus and those sitting with him. and orders them to be quiet. And I wonder, what does it take to try again? What strength of character, what resilience, what confidence, what courage, what vast reservoir of faith? Because Bartimaeus knows the risks. He depends on charity for survival. If he angers the crowd, they might withhold their meager offerings. They might even throw stones instead of bread. But something inside him, something deep and desperate and faithful and true, inspires him to fill his lungs again and to shout even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And this time Jesus hears. And when he hears, Jesus knows he has been seen. For this is the first time that he is called Son of David. The first time he is truly recognized as Savior and King, and not by disciple or rich man or Pharisee or priest, and certainly not by the crowd. Instead, it's the beggar by the roadside, the one cast out of the worshipping community, the one who apparently cannot see, who has truly and deeply seen. Blind Bartimaeus is a one with vision, and perhaps it is precisely his experience of disability and how other people respond that has given him such insight. Well, Jesus calls to Bartimaeus, and the blind man must find his way through the mob. But for a man with his courage, he's more than up to it. So he throws off his cloak, his livelihood, his only possession, and leaps up to stand with Jesus. It's such a contrast, because you will remember the rich man rejected a direct invitation to shed his possessions and become a disciple. Instead, he swirled around his fine fur cloak and walked away grieving, for he had many possessions. But the poor man, he didn't even wait to be asked. He threw off his only possession to join the movement. And in this act, we see profound faith. Indeed, in Mark's story, it's not the rich, but the poor, not insiders, but those cast to the margins who understand the gospel and live it, people like Bartimaeus. Because Bartimaeus sees, and Jesus sees him in return. He sees beyond the blindness, beyond the presenting symptoms, beyond the poverty, into the fullness of the person. Jesus sees beyond the rejection of the wider community and the terrible effects this rejection can have. And he sees Bartimaeus's faith. Yet despite his seeing, Jesus doesn't presume to know what Bartimaeus wants or needs. He doesn't assume Bartimaeus wants his blindness healed or even his poverty alleviated. Maybe the presenting issues are not the most important. And so, just as he said to James and John, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, again, Bartimaeus demonstrates deep insight. For where James and John sought greatness and glory, Bartimaeus seeks something else. Not status, not power, not possessions, not glory, just this: "My teacher, let me see again." And this Jesus can grant, for perhaps, just perhaps, Bartimaeus has been seeing clearly all along. Perhaps despite the issue which led the community to reject him, he had always been faithful. And perhaps to light up his darkness, all he ever needed was affirmation, acceptance, solidarity, love. For Jesus does no magic tricks. There's no mud, there's no spit, no pool of Siloam. Jesus doesn't even touch him. There are no second tries or people looking like trees walking. There are no groaning prayers. Instead, Jesus simply commends the son of the unclean, saying, "Your faith has made you well." This is the faith of the outsider. It turns out that the faith of the one who's been shown the door is a faith which makes people whole. It's not the faith of the inside group, assured of their own righteousness. It's not the faith of those worried about purity and anxious to eradicate difference. It's not the faith of those who wield rules like weapons and condemn vulnerable people for their so-called lifestyle. And nor is it the faith of those who block people from accessing Jesus and claim that they have the monopoly. Instead, it's the faith of the rejected one which heals and makes someone whole. So, what sort of faith is this? This is faith which takes the initiative. It's faith which resists the snarling hostility of the crowd and insists, I too am fully human and made in the image of God. It's faith which is forged in a crucible of suffering. It's faith which refuses to be silenced and which, despite other people's persecution and denial, continues to demand mercy. Like the bleeding woman whose initiative healed her, like the Syrophoenician woman who demanded crumbs for her daughter, Bartimaeus has a powerful and resilient faith, and it is this which heals him. And I think here now of so many faithful ones who still trust Jesus, even when a church has denied them. The family with the autistic kid, the trans man and his wife, the lesbian whose exorcisms were ineffective because it turned out there was nothing which needed to be exorcised. I think of the survivor of intimate partner violence who turned her back on a pastor's insistence that her role was to submit and forgive and got an intervention order instead. I think of the ones who read too much and asked too many questions and experienced a paradigm shift in faith and who were no longer able to accept black and white, inside or outside, and suffocating rules. All the ones who, despite the rejection of the crowd and its attempts to silence them, continue to call out, Jesus, have mercy. This is a faith which Jesus commends, and as many of us can affirm, it's powerfully alive and thriving outside the walls of the church. My friends, we are nearing the end of the journey to Jerusalem, and we are here inside the church. So this story contains some powerful challenges to us. Next week, it's all hosannas and palm branches, and I wonder, what sort of crowd are we? Do we rely on our own purity and righteousness while throwing people to the dogs? Do we claim to be following Jesus while ignoring the cries of those who suffer? Are we the crowd which snarls, shut up? Or do we say, take heart, stand up, he is calling you? And I wonder, where do we place our faith? In warm cloaks, wheels, property, investments, superannuation, status, privilege? Or do we place our faith in the one who asks us to leave it all behind and to come follow him? And where do we place ourselves? Do we assume we are at the center of things? Or are we doing spiritual battle with the demons of power and entitlement and privilege? And with everything else which makes us oblivious to those outside the gate. Can we acknowledge that we all have blind spots? Are we seeking healing? And are we open to change? My friends, Jesus asks, he will always ask, what do you want me to do for you? And I wonder, what will you say today? I'll leave you with that question for reflection as we pray. Jesus, our teacher, healer, and king, in the noise of the crowd, you heard Bartimaeus's cry. Open our ears to the voices we would often prefer to ignore. Open our eyes to the faithfulness of those living beyond the walls of the church. And open our hearts to the insights of diverse new companions as we journey towards Jerusalem with you. Amen. This reflection was prepared and recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people living here in Nam. I pay my respects to elders past and present, and the peace of the land be with us all. Amen.